Pashtuch starts off. Pinchas ben Eroz ben Aaron Akoyein, Heshiv es Chamosi me'al ben Yisrael. Hashem says that Pinchas took away my anger from ben Yisrael, bekana es kenosi b'seichom, and I didn't destroy ben Yisrael. Pasuk Yudbeis, l'chein emor, hinini noisei noy es brisi shalom. Therefore, I'll give to Pinchas my bris of shalom. And the Medrash Rabbah, this pasuk brings down, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bidinhu Shayito Scharoi. It's only right, it's only proper that Pinchas should take his schar. Lachain Emma, therefore, Hinini Noisingoi is Brisi Shalom, I will give him my bris of Shalom. Duna Magit is over a Moshe on this Pasuk, probably said it over in the past. There was once a Asher who took an Oni into his house, and the Oni came as an apprentice to the Asher. And the Oni's job was to work and fill the job the Asher needs done. And in exchange for the Oni working, he would be given room and board and food. Room, board, and food. And the Oni was taken as a young boy, and he worked for the Asher very faithfully, very diligently, a number of years. And the Asher supplied him with room, board, and food. And this went on for a number of years. Now, it comes one day. So it was Purim, and the Asher is sitting by a big Suda eating and having a party, and suddenly a businessman knocks on the door. And the businessman says, I need to speak to the boss, I need to speak to this Asher, I have a business deal, I need to buy a lot of material, a lot of schayra, and I'm willing to pay top price, but it has to be done today. If he sells it to me today, he'll open his factory for me today, and let me go buy today, then I'll pay him top price. And the Asher was already in the spirit of the Suda, in the spirit of Purim, maybe he drank a little bit too much, and he said, not now. Come back tomorrow. Now's not the time. Now we're having a Suda. I can't go ahead and help you now, right now. The Oni, the apprentice, was sitting by the table, and he says to his boss, the Asher, he says, would you mind if I took care of him? It's okay. I don't mind leaving the food and going to take care of him. Would you mind if I did it? The Asher says, Gesundheit, if you want to leave all the delicious food and the whole meal and go take care of him for business, please, go ahead. So the apprentice stands up and says, I'll take care of you. And he takes the businessman, they go down to the factory, and it takes the apprentice time to open up the factory and arrange everything until he finds all the schayr and all the merchandise that he wants. Takes a lot of time, and he cuts it down to size and a proper packaging. It takes a whole ASIC. Finally, he finishes, and he sends the businessman on his way, very satisfied, very happy. He pays him top dollar. And by the time the boy comes back home to the Asher, the Suda's already winding down, it's already over, and he has to eat 1, 2, 3 and go to sleep. The next day, the boss, the Asher, calls him over and says to him, how much do I owe you for all the years that you worked for me? How much money do I owe you for all the years that you worked for me? And the apprentice says, owe me? Room and board and food, that was the deal. The deal was that you would take care of, give me a place to stay and feed me, and I'd go into trade. You don't owe me anything at all. And the Asher says, that was up until yesterday. But yesterday when I saw that you were willing to give up your food, you're willing to give up your meal in order to go and hence the business, in order to make the sale for me, in order to keep the business and to make sure I don't lose this customer. Now I realize that the business itself became very important to you, and it's even more important than the food, because you're willing to give up a delicious sundo, all this food, in order to go ahead and to open the factory. And for that, now I want to pay you for all the years that you worked for me. So the Duno Magid, the same is true. We're all, so to speak, an apprentice to Hashem. Hashem gives us life. Hashem gives us food. Hashem gives us our necessities, what we need. It's impossible for a person to pay back to Hashem. Hashem does so much good for us, it's impossible for us to pay it back. The little that we can do, mitzvahs, Torah, ma'asim tovim, we follow the rotzen of Hashem. But once in a while, you have an extraordinary person who stands up, and he does above and beyond. He's ma'asim nefesh, and he puts his life on the line for the honor of Hashem. Pinchas was one of those people. Pinchas stood up for the honor of Hashem. Pinchas put his life in danger. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us there were 10 nisim that happened by the story of Zimri. We might have listed off in detail all 10. If any of those 10 nisim wouldn't have happened, Pinchas would have been, his life would have been lost. He could have been killed. Pinchas risked his life. for the honor of Hashem. When Hashem saw that Pinchas risked his life, Pinchas was Moisa Nefesh, it's only Bedinhu Shito Scharoi. Now, so to speak, Pinchas showed that all the time that he served Hashem, it's the love that he had for Hashem, and how he was concerned about Hashem's kavod. So it's only proper Bedinhu Shito Scharoi that Pinchas deserves to receive a schar. And the schar that Hashem gave to Pinchas was not only a schar for Pinchas himself, but was for Dairi Doris, for all future generations. Pinchas was Zeichen not only to a reward for himself, but his reward was passed on to his children, his grandchildren, and so on, generation after generation, they were all Kahanim because of Pinchas. Pinchas showed that he's willing to go above and beyond. It's not just the food that he has, but he's willing to go ahead and put his life on the line to serve Hashem. For that, Pinchas was rewarded, Bedinhu Shito Scharoi. Pasuk says later on, the Pasuk lists off all the Mishpachos, the families of Bnei Yisrael. In Perik Chavav Pasuk Tezvav and Tezayin, Bnei God L'Mishpachosom. The Pasuk mentions the families of God. In Pasuk Tezayin, L'Ozni Mishpachas HaOzni. Ozni was Mishpachas HaOzni. And Rashi brings down that who was Mishpachas HaOzni? So Rashi says, L'Ozni Oymani Shizu Mishpachas Itzvoin. This is really the Mishpacha of Itzvoin. Any day, and I don't know, Lomomoy Nikreis Mishpachtoi Al Shemoi. Why this mishpacha is not called by its name, it's fine, but it was changed to Ozni. The Shulchan Aruch says, if we look closely, who were the neighbors of God? Where did Shevet God stay in the Midbar? Who were the neighbors? Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, Shimon, and God were together in one machne. Reuven, Pashas Kairach, Masai Machamishimish, 250 men who were burnt by the Ketairis, where did they come from? Shevet Reuven. Dosan and Aviram, Reuven, and Ben Pelas, Reuven, a lot of troublemakers in Reuven. Who was God's other neighbor? Shimon, Zimri, this week's parasha, Zimri ben Saul, the Sibbe Saul of Lashemaini. Zimri was the Nasim Shevet Shimon. Also problems. So God was surrounded by neighbors that were Rishoyim. They had Reuven and Shimon, not good neighbors to learn from. The Gemara in Ksuvus, Dafei, what does the Gemara say? That a person's ear, there's a lobe on the ear, and a person has a finger. So when a person hears things that he shouldn't be hearing, he could put the finger in his ear, his finger shaped in such a way, he could stick his finger in his ear to block out the sounds, the noise, the words that he shouldn't be hearing. It says, Shulchan Kadosh, Ozni is a lotion of an ear. Etzvain, Itzvain is a lotion of Etzba, of a finger. And Shevet God, they were called Itzvain because they took their fingers, so to speak, and they closed off their ears from listening to all the bad ideas that came from the neighbors, Shevet Reuven and Shevet Shimon. So because they used their fingers and they blocked out, they stuffed up their ears from hearing all the bad ideas from Reuven and Shimon, for that they were Zeicha, the name changed Shitzvain, that they were called, they used their fingers the right way. They're also called Ozni because they used their ears. They used their ears only to hear what was proper and not to hear what's not proper.
So right, Rashi didn't know that?
I am part of Motayah. Okay, this is Drash, not the Poshim Shant. L'yetzer mishpachas ha-yitzri, l'shilei mishpachas ha-shilemi. In Perik Chavov, Posik Memtes. Naphtali, Yetzer was mishpachas ha-yitzri, shilei mishpachas ha-shilemi. And Chavetz Chaim says, I think we mentioned this last time, the Gemara tells us a makis in the Fyud, b'derech she'odom reitzer leilech, malichin oisai. On the path that a person wants to go, Hashem leads him down that path. A person wants to do good, Hashem will enable him to do good. A person wants to do not good, he'll be led down that path also. L'yetzer, says the Chavetz Chaim, a person who wants to follow the Yetzer Hara, he wants to give in to the Yetzer Hara and fulfill his taibis, mishpachas ha-yitzvi. There'll be a whole family of Yetzer Haras waiting for him. He'll have all the taibis, he'll have the opportunities to follow the Yetzer Hara. A person who wants to follow in the way of the Yetzer Hara, mishpachas ha-yitzvi. L'shilein, but a person who wants to achieve shilemus, he wants to achieve shleimus, do what's right, do good, act properly, mishpachas hashilemi. Min hashvan will send him a mishpacha of shleimus. He'll have many opportunities, and shleimus will be available for him to achieve. It depends which path a person wants to go on. L'yetzeh mishpachas hayitzri, mishilei mishpachas hashilemi. But a person has a choice in life, which path he wants to take. And whichever path a person chooses, Hashem leads him down that path. I'll probably say the story over. There was once a shikr, famous story. There was once a shikr, and all he did was drink and drink and drink, and his children used to find him out in the streets. They used to find him everywhere and anywhere after he drank. And finally they decided one day it's enough. And they have to teach the father a lesson not to drink so much. So they decide the next time that he gets shikur, they'll bring him to the cemetery, and they'll put him in the cemetery. And he'll wake up in the cemetery, he'll see the graves, maybe he'll get a little bit frightened, then he'll realize that life's not just to drink and be merry, but there's more seriousness to life, and maybe he'll stop drinking. No, what happens? That day, a bunch of merchants come into town, and they have with them all kinds of stolen goods. They have schayra, stolen goods, stolen merchandise. And they had all kinds of clothing and materials and barrels of wine. And as they come into town, somebody warns them that the government, the soldiers are here today checking all the schayra, checking anybody selling all the merchandise. If they catch it with stolen goods, they'll confiscate everything. So they have to find a place to hide all the schayra. What better place to hide than in the cemetery? So they go to the Beis HaKvaros, and in the Beis HaKvaros they hide, and they take two big barrels of wine and put it down in the Beis HaKvaros. Meanwhile, the father became shikur, they bring him to the Beis HaKvaros, and they lie him down, not knowing that nearby there were two barrels of wine. A day later, the shikur wakes up, looks around, and he sees two barrels of wine. He's able to loosen the tap, takes out some wine, and he drinks. Never had such good wine in his life. And he drinks, and he falls asleep. Wakes up the second day, and again, the barrels of wine are there, and he drinks again. Wakes up the third day, and again he drinks. But now the children are worried. What happened? They expected the father to come back, maybe a little bit serious. What happened? They go to the Beis HaKvaros, and they find them shikur with two barrels of wine. Okay. Says the Chavetz Chaim, that's what it means with Derech She'odom writes a Lelech Morichim Asai. The path that a person wants to go on, that's the path that he's led down. Okay, of course it's only a marshal. But the Derech She'odom writes a Lelech Morichim Asai. Okay, it's a nice little story. But the same is true. A person wants to do good. A person wants to do mitzvahs. So Hashem sends him the opportunity to do good, to do mitzvahs. V'yetzeh mishpachas ha-yitzri, v'shilei mishpachas ha-shilei. Pasuk says later on, yifkoyd Hashem l'kei halucha es l'chob asa. The Perich Chavov, Pasuk Tezayim. Says the Pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to appoint a leader, ish al ha-eda, an ish over the congregation, over the eda, asher yetzeh lifneihem, v'asher yovei lifneihem, v'asher yetzihem, v'asher yevihem. Someone who go out before them, come in before them. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Asher yetzeh lifneihem, loy kederech malchehu umos. Not like the goyim that we make kedem of the earlier days. Shoyu yoshvim bibateihem umashalchen es chayoreseim umuchama. The kings would sit at home and send the soldiers out to fight. El kamoisha sisiani, but Moshe was mispalo that Hashem should appoint a leader over Bnei Yisrael who did like I did. Shenochamti b'sichim v'oig, that I went out to Muhammad. I fought against sichim v'oig. Shenema atiroi soy, and like Yeshua did, shenema v'yelech Yehoshua. V'al shech HaKadosh Yedzon, v'asher yetzei lefnim, v'asher yotziyem, v'asher yeviyem. That a king, Moshe was mispalo for a leader who's not going to leave soldiers on the battlefield, but rather v'asher yetziyem, he'll take them out, v'asher yevim, he'll bring them back. He's not going to leave them in the middle of the Muhammad and run back to safety, but the king will wait until all the soldiers come in, and he'll be the last one to come in. He'll make sure everybody comes back to safety. A manig, a leader, has to be somebody's yetziyem, v'asher yevim. He goes out first, and he's willing to take responsibility for everybody, and come back last. Being a leader, being a manig over Bnei Yisrael, is not an easy job. And many times we find the Manhigim had very difficult times with Bnei Yisrael, with people, and the Manhigim, Bechlau, Klal Yisrael, is an Am Kshei Erif, who gives the Manhigim a difficult time. But a true Manhig is somebody who's concerned not only about what happens now, but what happens down the road, years and years later. Say over a story, a Moshul, there was once a Seicher, a businessman, and he was traveling in a convoy of wagons with all the schayra, and they had a whole bunch of wagons lined up one behind the other, and they're traveling through the forest to reach another city. It was a cold wintry day, and it starts to snow. And as they're going through the forest with the convoy of the wagons, it starts to snow. And they lost their way. It's snowing very heavily, the ground is covered, they can't see the path, and they lose their way. And the wagons are going round and round in circles, and here and there, and coming back. And it takes hours and hours of going round and around in circles until finally they discover the right path and they start heading out of the forest. And the Seicher, whose merchandise, everything belongs to, was very upset. He's very sad. So one of the workers says to him, "Why are you so upset? We We found the way out of the forest. We have the way. We're on the right path right now. So the Seicha says, yeah, but we were lost and we drayed around. We went in circles. So the worker says, yeah, it happens to me also. It's not the first time. I also got lost in the forest once or twice before. I was walking in the forest. It was snowing. I also got lost. It's no big deal. We're okay. We're safe. And the Osher says to him, you don't understand, he says. I'm not concerned about us. I'm concerned about everybody else. When you were by yourself in the forest and you got lost, you made footprints. You made tracks in the snow leading the wrong way. No problem. It was only one set of footprints. After a while, those footprints are covered over, they're erased, and no one else will make a mistake of following in those footsteps. But here we were, a whole convoy of wagons, and wagons make deep tracks in the snow, and we made tracks and tracks in the snow going the wrong way, going around in circles. I'm worried that when the next wagon comes along, they're going to see our tracks, and they're going to follow the tracks round and around in circles and go the wrong way. Somebody, a manigo of Bnei Yisroel, has to take into consideration not only what happens right now, but he has to be worried what's going to happen later on. When other people come to follow his tracks, and the tracks that he made, is he leading them around in circles, or is he leading them on the proper path? Yivkoid Hashem okei haruchai sulchol basa. Moshe was mispallel, Hashem should appoint a leader, Isha ho'edo, he understands everybody, he knows how to handle everybody, and he shouldn't leave people on the wrong path. The Pasuk says later on, v'nasato mihoidcho, Olav. In Perichav Zayin, Pasuk Chof. Hashem will put from your glory onto your Yeshua. And Rashi brings down, V'nasato mihoidcho olav, says Rashi, v'loi kol hoidcho. Not all of your glory. Them seinu l'meid mi'gornel, p'nei Moshe k'chama, p'nei Yeshua k'lavano. The face of Moshe was shining like the sun, and Yeshua was like the moon. Yeshua was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua was only k'lavano. The Gemara of Abbasra in Hay, it's on, oi loi lo'isa busha, oi loi lo'isa klima. Oi to that shame and embarrassment. The zakenim of that door had busha and klima from Yeshua. They saw Yeshua ben Nun was Mesharis Moshe. He was Mesharis of Moshe. Lo'yomish mitaycha oil. He didn't move out of the oil of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was zaychit to become the great Yeshua that he was. When the zakenim saw how great Yeshua became, they were embarrassed. Rabbi Tzil Volozhiner says over a very nice motion. He says there was once again, another seicha comes into town, a very wealthy businessman comes into town, and he meets a bunch of aniyim, poor people in the town. And he says to them, you know what, I have a great business opportunity, and I'm traveling now from town to town selling my schayra, and if anybody wants to come along with me and join my business and do some work for me, it's a great opportunity for them to earn money and become rich. And of course, all the aniyim, no one's interested in going along with him. No one's interested in taking on the job. And they say, yeah, right, sure. One ani decides will go along with him. One ani decides that he'll join this usher. They'll travel with him from town to town. And he joins up with him and they travel around from one town to another. And slowly but surely, the ani starts to build up a little savings. And as a year or two go by, he becomes very wealthy from all the business that he does. They come back to the Ani comes back to the original town together with the Seicher, and they're both very wealthy people. When the Aniim see the friend, the original Ani coming back, and the Seicher, they're very embarrassed. And they can't look the Ani straight in the eye. They can't look the former Ani straight in the eye, and they're very embarrassed of him. But to the Osher, the Seicher, they have no problem talking to him and looking him straight in the eye. So the newly turned Osher, the old Ani, says to them, tell me, how come you're only embarrassing me? You can't look me straight in the eye. But the Osher, he's much wealthier than you, and you can look him straight in the eye. And they answer me, they say, don't you understand? Because you were once one of us. This Osher, he was wealthy all along. He never was one of us. We're not embarrassed of him. But you were one of us. You were just as poor as we were. And now you became very wealthy, and we didn't. We're very embarrassed. Because we had the same chance that you had. We had the same opportunity that you had, and we didn't grab it. And you took the opportunity and became a wealthy man. Says the Ritzel of Elojino, Moshe was Kibbenei Chama, Yeshua Kibbenei Levono. The Zakenim Shivaisi Hador, the other Zakenim in that generation, Oy loy loy sabusha, Oy loy loy saklima, Oy to that shame and to that embarrassment. They could have become like Yeshua also. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kadosh, was a god from the beginning. Hashem chose Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was special from the beginning. But Yeshua was Mesharis Moshe. He was in the beginning, Yeshua was like everybody else. But Yeshua grew because he was lo yamish b'taycha oil. He didn't move out of the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. He stayed with his Rebbe. He grew from Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, the Zkenim were embarrassed because they could have grown and they could have become just as great as Yeshua, and they didn't. Every person has opportunities in life to grow from and to become better. And a person has to realize what the opportunities are. And when they come a person's way, a person has to grab those opportunities and use it properly. If not, oy to that shame. He had a chance and a person didn't use it properly. A person who uses his opportunities properly could grow like Yeshua. It says later on, the Pesukim go through the Yom Tov. It says, by Yom Kippur, ve'inisem esnaf she'seichem. We fast on Yom Kippur, ve'inisem esnaf she'seichem. Right. We've also perik chof tes pasuk zayin. We've also chayish ha'shvi, mikro chayish yi'ochem, ve'inisem esnaf she'seichem, kol malacho lois ha'asum. Ve'inisem esnaf she'seichem, fasting. Okay, we all know Yom Kippur, we fast, v'slicha, mechira, v'kapara, inuyim, and so on. The Gemara in Brachis, Mazutra says, the schar of a tainis, igra de tainisa, is at stalker. The schar of a tainis is at stalker. That stalker that a person gives in a tainis, does in a tainis, that's the ikar reward, that's could be the ikar purpose of the tainis. And the Dino Magitz is over a nice marshal. The usher is sitting at home one night, and he's lying in bed, and there's a knock on the door. A knock on the door, there's an oni, outside, and the oni is screaming, I'm hungry, I didn't eat the whole day, I need food. And the usher is here, he's asleep, he's tired, too lazy to get out of bed. And the usher says, go away, it's late at night, don't bother me so late at night. No food, and the oni tries again, banging on the door, and the usher says, it's so late at night, there's no food, go away. The next day happens to be a tainus, it's a fast day. The next day is a fast day. And the usher fasts the whole day like everybody else. At the end of the day, when he sits down, he's ready to break his fast, he's ready to eat, he says to his butler, go out and find the oni who was here last night. Go and find the oni that was here last night, and call him inside, and tell him that he could eat with me now at the end of the fast. Call the oni inside. So Misharis goes, he searches around, and he finds the oni that was there last night, and he says, you're invited to eat, and break your fast together with the usher, come to his house. And the oni comes, and they give him to eat a whole suda, and the oni eats the whole meal. After the oni finishes eating, he says to the Baal Bas, tell me, how come last night you didn't let me in? And tonight, you invited me in? What happened? What changed in the past 24 hours? And the usher said, it's easy, it's simple. Last night I wasn't fasting. Today I fasted a whole day. Last night I wasn't fasting. I couldn't feel your pain. I couldn't feel your tzar. So I told you to go away. But today I fasted a whole day. Now that I fasted a whole day, I realize what it means to be hungry, what it means not to have food. Now that I fasted a whole day and I see what it means to be hungry, now I understand that tzar that you're going through, I invited you to come. I invited you to come in and eat. Okay, so everybody is aware of what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, the news, and as much as we hear the news, it's sometimes we miss the ikar. We're all concerned what's happening, what happened, how many rockets are here in the air, and this hour there were so many rockets, and they landed here, and they went there, how far did they go? And people get carried away. The ikar is, how do we feel? How do we feel? Baruch Hashem, in a way we could say it, we're not in the same situation. But there's you know, being noisy, feeling for somebody else. How do we feel? Are we fasting a whole day? We're like the usher sitting in bed after a whole day. We ate. Everything is running on a regular schedule. Everything is running the usual way. The world's running the usual way. And we're sitting here, oh, by the way, another few rockets fell. By the way, they shot the Iron Dome shot down another rocket. And this happened and that happened. Where's the noise of Al-Khaberai? Do we feel anything? Do we feel bad? Do we feel a little hungry? Sit down for a few minutes. Rav Miller would always say over, take a half a minute of your day. Take a few seconds of your day and say, I feel, I mourn for the Chubur of the Beis HaMikdash. Did a person ever do that? Take a few seconds and say, I feel for the Chubur of the Beis HaMikdash. Take a few seconds. Take a minute and say, I feel. I feel for them. I feel for what they're going through. The whole life is disrupted from morning till night. The sirens going off, running to the shelters, running in, running out into the lobby on the stairwell in the shelters. Anybody who has any relatives in Eretz Yisrael and spoke to them, they'll tell you exactly what's happening. Feel a little bit. Feel for them. Feel a little bit. We say to him, put an extra krechs in. Put a little feeling into it. Not just a saying to him again. Feel for it. Take a few minutes and think, what is it like? How hard it must be? How difficult it must be? And after feeling for them, say a prayer to him. Learn an extra mishnah. Something. We can't do much. We're not going to go and fight. We're not going to go and fly planes. We're not going to go and be on the ground. But l'maisa, we're sitting here very comfortably, sitting back. Let's be noisy and mochaber. Feel a little bit. When we say to him a little bit, imagine what they're going through. Then say a kapitel to him. Becomes a different paragraph to him. Feel a little bit. What chusim can I give? Learn a mishnah. Learn an extra 5 minutes. Everybody thinks that to have chusim, you have to do big things. Everything big. It's not true. It's the small little things that count. A mishnah adds up. A kapitel to him and another parak to him, it adds up. A little bit, a little to him, a little mishnayis, a little extra learning, it goes a long way. We all would love to do whatever we can, but there's not much we could do. But our tehillim, our learning could go a long way. So let's be mechazik ourselves, and let's have Yidden Eretz Yisrael in mind, and let's feel for them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemekabel all of our tefillos, and hopefully the Muhammad should end soon, and we should be victorious, and the Hamas, the enemy, should be squashed, finished once and for all. And just like throughout history, there were many that stood up against us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us overcome. We should be able to overcome and destroy the enemies. And together we should be zeichet that this year, Tishbav, Shvei Yom Tov, Kor Olai Moed, like we learned tonight, we should be zeichet to see the Bayis HaShlishi, and Mashiach Sukkim, Meherev Yemeinu, Amen. 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 Amen.